As you can hear, I have somewhat of a cold. I will see if I can push past that. Hopefully my throat will keep up where we need to go. You know, I'm going to talk to you about something that's close to our hearts today. But, you know, it's funny. Things that stick in our minds as we're growing up. And have you ever noticed how adverts stick in your head? Okay? Can you remember, if you like a lot of chocolate on your biscuit, join our... And if you think about all those jingles that we used to grow up with, okay, they're just stuck in your head all the time. You know, whenever you think of mashed potato, you see these stupid aliens, right, smashing them all to bits, right? What's really funny is, okay, anyone else think of another one that they have that they remember growing up with? There you go. That's good. Right, can you see? There's loads of them, right? We kind of, if I let the floor go, we'd be here for an hour, right? Can you tell me one from today that you know of, that's now, that's current? Right, because it's all got much more subtle. Okay? It's all got much... The adverts were hilarious. I mean, the Tango adverts were absolutely hilarious. I remembered them a while back and went back and looked at them on YouTube. And it's this absolutely fat guy running up and going... and slapping his gun. You've been tangoed. And they were genius. And they cost fortunes to put together. Why are we not remembering these ones we've got now? Because they're pervasive. They're all over the place. If you're on Facebook, you're getting hit with an advert every 5 minutes. If less than that, every 30 seconds, you're getting hit by an advert. And lo and behold, you search for something on Google, or you mention it when you're talking to somebody that you might like to be going on holiday. What happens on Facebook? Holidays start appearing on your Facebook. We are being marketed to all the time. We are being sold to. I said this a wee while back. I had a conversation with an Egyptian pastor when I was over there, and I asked him what was the primary purpose of Facebook, and he thought it was to connect with friends and keep in touch with people. And I asked his daughter, and she went, to sell your stuff. Twitter, what's its main purpose? To sell you stuff. All of the social medias, the whole existence is to sell you stuff, to make you a obedient consumer. I was talking to the youth about this the other day. The thing, the goal of our society, the goal of the people running this society is to make you a compliant consumer. So shut up and buy something. Okay? What happened when the fuel price, petrol price, went to £1 a gallon? What happened? We had protests. We had people blocking motorways. What happened when it went over £2 a litre? Nothing. We're talking £10 a gallon. And yet nothing. We've all been turned into a compliant society, but we've all been marketed to. So now we're wanting stuff. We don't even know why we want it. We're wanting a type of life. We don't know why we want it. It's because we are being sold to all the time. Right, we're going to look at a little passage of scripture that you know very well. Matthew, you have to forgive the throat sweep, but I need to keep using it, otherwise you won't understand me at all. Okay. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Okay, now the whole of the chapter, and this is quite important, the whole of the chapter is targeting a certain need that a human being has to be seen to be something, or to be in a place of some kind of esteem in their society, but also is about what is it that's driving your life forwards. What is it you truly do rely on? And we've just sung some really good songs here. Okay? We talked about the fact that God was our central thing. Okay? God was our, you know, able to meet our needs. We just, all of us just sung that. Now, one of the main bits in this chapter, and we'll have a look at this, is from chapter 9. And you know this very well. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts. As we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, the fascinating thing, I was looking at something that I hadn't really looked at before, chiasms. Robbie will know about chiasms. They are the structures that actually underlie a lot of the scriptures. All the way through the Bible, there are really clear structures to show you what's the most important part of the sentence. And you know what the most important bit, the central focus and the Lord's Prayer is? Give us this day our daily bread. What Jesus is trying to do in the Lord's Prayer, he's saying, focus on God, focus on the dynamics, but understand this, you're asking him that he would provide your daily bread. Okay? So, focus on God, ask him for that daily bread, focus back on God. Okay? Are we doing that? Are we doing that? Are we able to do that? It goes on to talk about other things in the passage, about the kind of things we do spiritually. It talks about fasting and says how when you fast, don't go about looking like, oh, I'm really starving. Oh, this is so hard. He says, no, don't let anyone know you're fasting. That's between you and God. What are you looking to get from this? Are you looking for esteem? Are you looking for somebody you think, oh, you're very spiritual? Because you've missed the point. What he's trying to get you to see is focus on God, ask him for what you need, focus back on God. Okay? Don't then try and get other people to give you what you need. Focus on God, ask him for what you need, focus back on God. But then he comes to this really great bit of scripture. Okay, so Jesus then says in verse 19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, did you see a little bit of a structure in the way Jesus spoke that? He said, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy. Okay? Then goes on and says, put your treasure in heaven. And then he repeats the thing again. Where moth and rust cannot destroy. Okay? So the main thing in the center of what he's saying there is, lay up your treasure in heaven. Now, how do you get your treasure in heaven? How can you do it? Anyone know the incredibly secret way that you get treasure into heaven? Because you can't get it in a coffin. We've seen societies where they tried to do that. I actually saw a fascinating documentary on the colorization of all of the black and white movies that were taken when they found Tutankhamun's treasures. Fascinating little thing, okay? What were they trying to do? They were trying to take all of their wealth, their earthly gains, and somehow shoehorn them into the afterlife. What happened? Well, we've got it in a museum. It didn't get to the afterlife. Okay? Jesus is saying, you need to put your treasure into heaven. The only way you can do it is invest in what he's called you to do here. Remember the parable of the treasure chest that the man found in a field? That treasure that God has given you is the ability to do his will here on earth, to invest that in the lives of the people. Now, see these people around you? These people that are sitting around you are your route to get treasure into heaven. You invest resources into their lives, you bless them, you do something, you do acts of kindness and stuff, that gets treasure into heaven. You give some guy who doesn't, you don't know, some random, you know, you bless somebody, you give them something, you help them out, that you got treasure into heaven. The way you get treasure into heaven is to spend it in the lives of those around you here. And in doing so, you become rich. Now, Jesus then goes on to talk about the eye of your body being true. Now, it's a Jewish phrase which means having a generous heart. And he says, if you have a generous heart, you will see the world in the right way. Because if you have a miserly heart, you are going to see everybody as being a cost to you. Everything you do is a cost to you. Whereas if you have a generous heart, and that's what he's talking about, you will look to want to spend money in the people around you, wanting to spend time on the people around you. You will want to get your treasure into heaven. Not so that you'll get treasure into heaven, but because you want to bless the lives of those around you. So what Jesus is trying to get you to see is this is a different way of seeing how you live life. Now, believe it or not, that's all an intro to a very short message I'm now going to give you, which is, I'm not going to make it a big long one. The last time I spoke, I managed to keep it to 26 minutes. That was a record. Okay. Verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot serve God and mammon is the actual closest to the Greek. Now, mammon is earthly treasure, more than money. Okay? You cannot serve God and mammon. Remember we talked at the beginning about how we're being advertised to all the time and told the thing that will make you happy is, well, whatever you've just asked for. Whatever you've just let them know that you want, they're now going to market towards you to give you that. Oh, you really do need that. You are continually being told that you have needs and the way to meet those needs is to buy this stuff. How many times have you had a advert come up on your Facebook or on any other thing to say, go and invest in someone else's life. Go and do something for somebody else that's not for you. Huh? Right, okay, that's not a bad thing. But what we've got to be aware of is that we are being pushed in the directions that the media want us to be. And I'm not saying giving to the Ukraine appeal was a bad thing. It wasn't. But where were we when the Syrians were refugees? Where were we when other disasters happened in other parts of the world? We are being pushed to do what the media think we should be doing. That's not what God's calling you to do. God's calling you to meet the needs that he's calling you to meet. Your treasure is to do his will. And if God reveals a need in someone else's life, then meet it. But be careful, you're not being just pushed down a political thing or pushed down a knee-jerk reaction. I mean, the news coverage in Ukraine at the moment is dropped off like the face of the earth. Has the needs in Ukraine dropped off the face? Not at all, it's worse. So be careful. I'm just saying, be careful. But look at your life and look at what your balance is. And this is all I'm trying to get you to see. Keep your balance right. In the Lord's Prayer, it put God first. It put relationships. And then you asking for your needs. So the whole thing of forgiving debts and that kind of stuff. So go back and just look at the Lord's Prayer again. And just keep praying that. Not the Lord's Prayer, but the concepts of it. Okay? Put God first. Realize who you are talking to. Realize who you are talking to. Okay? And ask what you need. And then put God first again. Okay? If you truly trust God, you're not going to be worried about if you've got this color of that or whatever. You're going to be saying, yeah, there are things I need, but my priority is the kingdom. Ask yourself, is the kingdom your priority? Are you living for Jesus? Or are you just tacking that on as a nice little extra? Are you actually living for stuff? Living for the needs that you have? Or are you living for the kingdom? And Jesus says, if you end up getting dragged to just your belly, your needs, you're not serving God. So serve God, and he will meet your needs. Isn't it great? Serve God, tell him what you need, he'll do it. Look for the things you think you need, and you find yourself a long way from serving God. It's very simple. It's quite complicated because we're never honest to ourselves. But when you're in a situation, keep on asking him, Lord, am I serving you in this? Can I serve you more in this? Is this me just getting dragged? Ask some simple questions and be honest. No, I just want that. And then you can say to God, is it okay if I want that? And he might say, yeah, it's fine. But sometimes he might say, no. That's actually taking you the wrong way. Do not allow yourself to get dragged by the nose to wanting, 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 and find yourself a long way from God. A lot of us, and I say in our early part of our marriage, due to a lot of circumstances, a lot of downturns, a lot of difficulties in my work and in health and all kinds of stuff, we ended up hugely in debt. We, at one point, were using a credit card we'd use the credit card, then we'd pay it off. We'd use the credit card, pay it off. Every month, pay it off. Like, and then one month, it went wrong, and we couldn't pay it off. And then my job changed, and they took a lot of hours off me. And, you know, within 3 or 4 years, we were about 15 grand in debt. See, from that point on, who were we working for? I was a slave. I was only going to work to source that debt. And it took a long time and a lot of prayer and a lot of intervention from God to get us to a point now where we do have a mortgage. We continue with that. Our society is somewhat structured. It's very difficult not to have that. But seriously, do not get into debt unless you absolutely have to in that situation. Use your wisdom. Because the moment you're in debt, you know, I owe, so off to work I go. OK? okay? We need to seek to be available for God so that our finances can be used in the kingdom. Not so tied up that by the beginning of every month, we're just paying off from last month. We've got no security at all. And can I say that CAP, I think, is a phenomenal ministry. A phenomenal ministry. It's saved so many people from being held in financial debt, but it's also liberated money into the kingdom because you can actually plan your money so that you are investing in the kingdom. So there's a lot of practicals here, but the key thing here is God will provide your needs through his riches in glory. But put Jesus first. Tell him what you need, and then get on with serving Jesus. It's as simple as that. Let's not overcomplicate it and end up being yanked around by being motivated to do things that other people want us to do. Do not be a compliant consumer. Be a child of God and seek to see what God can do in your life. You never know. This church could actually be revolutionary if we put Jesus first, if we sought to use our wealth for the wealth of this nation, to bring them to know Christ and to see something absolutely phenomenal happen. So I'm going to leave that with you. I'm going to pray and we'll just put this before God. Father, I want to thank you that your scriptures are straightforward. Help us, Lord, to stand against the constant noise, the constant marketing that's coming against us. Lord, we want to put your kingdom first. Show us how we can do it in our everyday life. Lord, if we have allowed wealth, comfort, all these different things, if we allowed them to become our driving force, Lord, we ask that you would now put our priorities right. We acknowledge that you are our Father. You are in control of everything. Lord, we want to see your kingdom come. And we want to see your will done. And Lord, we lay before you all the needs that we have to get through life, to be right before you, to do the things that we need our everyday bread, Lord. And Lord, we come into relationship with those around us. We do not hold anything against anybody. And Lord God, we separate ourselves from that. You are God. You are divine. You are awesome. And we want to serve you in everything that we are. So we lay our lives before you, Lord God. Cause us to be your righteous people, your kings, your priests, your holy people in this world. That we might stand against the devil's schemes and see people snatched from the fire, brought into the kingdom, and saved for eternity.